Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the American Awakening Podcast. My name is Michael Herzog, and I've been a broadcaster for 17 years. Now, this podcast is packed with information designed to get the attention of all fellow Americans that sense in their gut, their heart, and their spirit that there is something very wrong in this country, but can't yet put their finger on exactly what it is. Well, hopefully this podcast will shed a bit of light to those wishing for answers. But let me start with a few questions. In the past few years, have you noticed gradual changes in your surroundings? Though you can't pinpoint it, is there something in your discernment telling you that, well, there's something wrong in your country? With all that is happening around you, are you finding yourself feeling unsettled, concerned, uncomfortable, unsafe? Like you know something is not right, but you can't quite put your finger on it. Well, if you answered yes to any of those questions, you're not alone. Millions of Americans are asking the same questions and having those same feelings. This discomfort didn't happen overnight. It has happened gradually over time. But since COVID, this discomfort has gotten increasingly worse, with millions of Americans starting to ask questions, yet getting frustrated with the lack of answers. So sit back and listen, and maybe this podcast will help give you some answers as to why you are feeling that anxiety. Let's begin by climbing into an imaginary time machine and set the destination first for January 17th, 1961. Now, whether you were conceived as yet is of no matter, for I'll share the event through the eyes of an 11-year-old child, namely me. Sitting on the sofa between my mother and father, I watched the short, less than 10-minute farewell speech of President Dwight D. Eisenhower. He gave it shortly before relinquishing his chair in the Oval Office to incoming President John F. Kennedy. Pretty boring in the mind of an 11-year-old boy. However, there was one snippet in his delivery that rang in my head like a bell. Have a listen.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Whether sought or unsought by the military-industrial complex. Do you have any idea of what he meant? Well, if your answer was no, don't feel alone, because neither did I. Of course, we have to keep in mind that I was only 11 years old. More importantly, however, when I asked my parents if they knew what he meant, they conveniently told me it was past my bedtime and shuffled me off to my room. I never did get an answer, though I posed the question many times since. In the end, I had to assume that the bewildered look I observed on my parents' face as they looked at each other with puzzling expressions pretty much answered my question. That answer? They hadn't a clue. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwanted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. I pondered those words until I watched, again sitting in between my parents, our new president on April 27, 1961, just a few months later. I listened to him deliver these words to the American people.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens, whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion.
Our parents and grandparents were warned by these two presidents over three generations ago. But it was a simpler time then, and they were too ignorant or innocent to take heed, much less try and understand it or do anything about it for that matter. And I was too young to grasp the meaning. But our time machine now sits in 2023, and the boot of their neglected warning now sits on the face of every individual listening to this broadcast here and now. President Kennedy, in that speech, tried to expose them then, and what he then tried to expose is manifesting now. I'm going to repeat his words. Then after I do so, I'm going to translate them so we all grasp a good understanding of how it is affecting us today. A monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, and no secret is revealed. Fully informed citizens, my friends, that's what John F. Kennedy was asking for. And he quoted, "An error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it." He asked for the press to point out errors, if they missed them, without debate or without criticism. No country can succeed. Yes, the responsibilities of a true informative press, and John F. Kennedy welcomed it. This secret society, the one John Kennedy was alluding to in that speech, was vehemently opposed to the president's vision. William Casey, the director of the CIA in 1981, and I might add, a colluding member, is remembered for, among other things, a famous quote. That quote, "We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." Now digest that for a minute. We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. And where does the American public obtain the majority of their beliefs? The mainstream media, of course. Now, I'm sure you've heard the expression more than once in your life that kind of goes something like this. "Oh, come on, if that were true, I'd have seen it on TV." What our parents didn't know then, most of the boob tube watching public, they're not aware that there was a CIA operation implemented into mainstream years ago that is still being used to this day. Mainstream news is not formatted to instruct people how to believe. Instead, it is designed to insert propaganda instructing us what to believe. The German Minister of Propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, gave the quote, "Tell a lie often enough, and eventually it becomes the truth." That's exactly the goal of what the CIA's disinformation program set out to accomplish, and they succeeded. The term for it was Operation Mockingbird, and it is still being used to this day. Why do you think they call it programming? They are programming the unsuspecting mind. The good news is, once one is aware of what they are doing, their technique loses its effect. The April 27th, 1961 speech by John F. Kennedy is what many contend contributed to what eventually got him killed. So now, I'm going to translate these prophetic words by President Kennedy, and then I'm going to compare it to what we are currently witnessing in present day. A collective mindset, globalist, indivisible, uniform cabal, collective in their goal of a totalitarian government, relying on their craving and financial power for their sphere of influence, infiltrating, bribing, threatening instead of invading, relying on subversion, that's undermining the power and authority of an established system. Think honest elections, folks. Using intimidation to alter free choice, using clandestine means in the dark, in secret, instead of those invading armies that could be seen by day. They have bribed, persuaded, compromised, intimidated, or threatened many of their unwitting conscripted humans and used their vast material resources, including taxpayer dollars, drug smuggling, human trafficking, child trafficking, the proceeds of which to build their tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines the subservient, cooperative efforts of their compromised high-level military while purging the lower ranks of uncooperative thinking troops that are bribed, they're threatened, or compromised diplomats, the intelligence officials, 50 intelligence officers swearing that Hunter's laptop was Russian disinformation, proven now, by the way, by congressional investigations to be a lie, economic chaos by business and small business closures and economic hardship for thousands of businesses during COVID, while allowing the big box stores to remain open, scientific operations, folks, Anthony Fauci funneling billions of taxpayer dollars through the NAIAC to Peter Daszak and Ralph Baric in gain-of-function research. A criminal referral submitted by Senator Rand Paul to Attorney General Merrick Garland for this proven lie before a Senate subcommittee. Political operations of gaming the system in the 2020 and 2022 elections with mail-in ballots and backdoor electronic voting machines, their preparations concealed, not published, their mistakes buried, not headlined, by a cooperative, controlled mainstream media. Its dissenters are silenced. Social media censorship, phony indictments, corrupt lawfare, an FBI arresting over 1,000 protesters, many that are still rotting in a jail for close to 3 years now after the January 6th event. None of the trillions in expenditures is questioned. No dissenting rumor is printed without being censored, and no secret is revealed. This is where we are in 2023, currently being invaded by millions of illegals from all over the world, by the way, funded and coordinated by a cabal that has run a coup d'etat on what was once the United States government. In their attempts to homogenize this country into cultural oblivion, all the while concealing the real numbers of death and disability to millions of trusting Americans believing their government was benevolent when enticing them, then later threatening them, if they didn't roll up their sleeve for an experimental jab that, truth be known, has killed more Americans than soldiers that died in the Vietnam War. Many, many more. Which, by the way, is an added reason why John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Because, you see, John Kennedy was against the Vietnam War and didn't want to send American troops to die there. So, remember that military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned our parents and grandparents about in his farewell speech. Well, those are the same people that stood to lose countless billions, and that's billions with a B, of U.S. taxpayer dollars, your taxpayer dollars, in weapons contracts if Kennedy had his way. So that little objection, along with attempting to expose those pesky little secret society members, and throw in that he ordered the printing of U.S. notes in his attempts to break away from the cabal-run Federal Reserve System, and you have the perfect recipe for an assassination, that is, from the cabal's perspective. Now, If we climb back into our time machine, I could easily have you pick a date, and upon arrival, with a little investigation of that time frame's political environment, I promise you, it wouldn't take much investigation to expose the propagandic falsehoods of the time period. However, for the sake of expediency, I'll just share a few since JFK's assassination to give you a taste of just how unintegral and unempathetic these people are in coveting their quest for power and control. The 1964 Gulf of Tonkin incident was the justification for sending American troops to Vietnam. It has now been declassified as a complete lie. It never happened. Yet, over 58,000 American soldiers lost their lives in that war over a lie. In 1967, Israeli planes attacked the USS Liberty off the coast of Egypt. They strafed and torpedoed it. Excuse me. It was a U.S. spy ship. It killed 34 sailors and injured 171 others. The United States government covered it up to protect Israel. They lied by omission. In 1991, the first Gulf War, U.S. aggression against Iraq with the excuse of Iraqi soldiers invading Kuwait, entering a hospital, taking babies out of their incubators, and leaving them to die on the floor. This story came from congressional testimony by then 15-year-old Naira Al-Saba. She was an alleged nurse at the hospital who, only after the fact was discovered, to be that 15-year-old daughter of the then-sitting Kuwaiti Prime Minister Ahmed Nawaf Al-Ahmad Al-Sabah. It was also discovered that Naira's testimony was coached by Hill & Knowlton, which is a global public relations consulting company. It was a lie. George H.W. Bush recited her testimony at least 10 times on national TV to gain public support for the first Iraqi invasion. Additionally, 7 U.S. senators recited Naira's testimony, again, to garner support with their constituents for that invasion. Many of us saw the shock and awe devastation broadcast on national TV. The result? The deaths of over 100,000 Iraqi troops and over 300,000 injured. And all of that carnage based on a lie. In 2001, 9/11 to be specific, 19 Muslim hijackers with box cutters hijacked 4 airliners and crashed them into 3 buildings, causing them to collapse. It's a complete lie, proven to be a lie by thousands of architects, engineers, pilots, and those numbers are growing by the day, all the way up to this day. Yet, there is no new investigation. This event, among other reasons, was orchestrated to justify an invasion to remake the Middle East. 2003, Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. That was the second invasion of Iraq, killing untold thousands of Iraqis, both military and civilian. It was a lie. Saddam had launched his oil for food program and started trading his oil for euros. That was the real reason he was taken out. In 2003, we invaded Afghanistan. The United States occupied it for over 20 years. The excuse? Osama bin Laden was hiding somewhere in an Afghan cave. That was another lie. 2011, there was an invasion launched to take out Muammar Gaddafi. The excuse? Muammar Gaddafi was waging war on his own people, according to them. A complete lie. Muammar Gaddafi was, at the time, not even the leader of Libya. He was, however, at the time, making agreements with many African leaders to start trading the gold dinar for oil throughout Africa. That is what got him killed. 2022, just last year. Vladimir Putin unprovoked attacked a sovereign country of Ukraine. This is a lie. I put it in current tense as it is still going on. Number one, Ukraine is not a, quote, sovereign country. What the U.S. government and their controlled parrot mainstream media doesn't tell its viewers is that the CIA directed and orchestrated a coup d'etat in 2014 to oust the Eastern political leaning Viktor Yanukovych. He was replaced by Western puppet Petro Poroshenko. Ukraine military had been shelling Eastern Ukraine, specifically the Russian residents in Luhansk and Donetsk, since 2014, killing upwards of 15,000 innocent Russian men, women, and children. The Minsk I and Minsk II agreements put in place by the U.S. and NATO were supposed to assure Vladimir Putin that no further eastern movement of NATO members would happen. Both those agreements were violated. This was affirmed when former German Prime Minister Angela Merkel let the cat out of the proverbial bag when she stated the entire reason for the Minsk agreements were to appease Vladimir Putin and give Ukraine time to build up their military. So the agreements were violated, not by Putin, but by the West. The residents of Donetsk and Luhansk were being terrorized and killed by Ukrainian military since 2014. Putin launched his police action both to protect the Russian residents residing in those two locales, as well as stop NATO aggression further east, all the way to Russia's doorstep. The U.S. entire narrative regarding the war in Ukraine and the reasons for it are a lie, but you continually hear it across the airwaves in Operation Mockingbird, put in place by William Casey, that the Russians invaded Ukraine and Ukraine is winning. This is a lie that has thus far, at this broadcast, cost American taxpayers, that's most of you out there, over $120 billion and over 300,000 Ukrainian lives, with over 12 million, I believe it's upwards of 14 million now, Ukrainian citizens that have become refugees. They have left this country, the Ukraine, most of which have pledged never to return. Now, what I just shared is only a fraction of the weaponized aggressions of the United States. In truth, there have been at least 50, that's 50, such militarized aggressions by this country since World War II. In contrast to other countries, the U.S. is not the policeman of the world, but rather the bully of the world would be more accurate from their perspective. And though the U.S. calls their military expenditures a defense budget, a more accurate term would be an offense budget, as the U.S. has never had to defend its borders from a foreign invader since the Revolutionary War. But what's it all for, you ask? Power, control, possession of natural resources, population reduction, and world domination. ultimately their coveted goal of a one-world government. The renowned comedian George Carlin said it best in one of his comedy skits many years ago. Though it was delivered in humor, the gist of his message was true. All of what he orated during his performance was spot on. I'll let you have a listen, but I will warn you, there are a couple of profanities in it, so if you are offended, don't listen. Or if there are children in the room, politely ask them to leave before you start.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table to figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back. So they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all.
There you have it, folks. He's pretty much spot on. It's a big club, and you're not in it. What they don't want is they don't want a population with critical thinking abilities. That's part of the reason for this podcast. Pretty much encapsulates what they really think of us peon Americans. Once there lived a hero. His values were kindness, integrity, and empathy for his fellow man. He proved that by non-compliance, sacrificing the best years of his career, rather than be sent to fight a people across the globe of which, by his own admission, he had no quarrel. He was demonized, vilified, called unpatriotic, and stripped of his license to practice his profession over his belief. But he stuck to his values and refused to submit. Who am I speaking of? That hero was Muhammad Ali. Those people that he had no quarrel with were the Vietnamese. There was no suspicion of racism involved from Ali's perspective. He cared not their race, their creed, or color. He only cared about their God-given right to live life. Over 58,000 Americans died in that war, and over 1 million Vietnamese. The only winners were those people that Eisenhower was speaking of, the military-industrial complex, the defense contractors. They raked in billions in profits for themselves and their stockholders, many of whom were the very politicians favoring the war. It happens again and again and again. And Ukraine is only the latest. Trading body bags for bags of profits. Those same people Eisenhower warned our parents and grandparents about in 1961. We are witnessing this today as I speak in Ukraine. Those winners being the same. The losers are in the body bags. They demonize a real hero like Muhammad Ali, yet they glorify the people responsible for orchestrating war and death on others. George H.W. Bush was a hero. They named an aircraft carrier after him. From their perspective, he was a hero. From ours, no way. Though his actions cost the lives of countless thousands. The race card didn't work on Muhammad Ali. But they use the same card to divide us and claim the biggest threat to democracy is the white supremacist. It's their classic move, divide and conquer. They know that division weakens us, blacks hating whites and vice versa. In today's world, they are demonizing whites. 20 years ago, if you recall, when it fit their plans, it was the Muslims. Whether you are black, white, Asian, or Indian, you are not my enemy, and I hope that I'm not yours. We are all occupants of planet Earth, and we are all brother human beings. We are not each other's enemy, though they want us to think so. Those secret societies John Kennedy spoke of in 1961, those people are our enemy because they are trying to financially break us, to debilitate us, and ultimately destroy us. It's been their plan for a long time. It was even etched in stone with those erected Georgia Guidestones back in the mid-70s, depicting the goal of decreasing world population down to a manageable 500 million. They were recently destroyed, however, as since many watched their friends and loved ones become disabled or die after the injection of their miracle jab, those Georgia Guidestones started getting more attention. So they destroyed them. God forbid that we, the people, catch on to their plans and the world finally awakens to the startling revelation that population reduction, a totalitarian government, a new world order, isn't, nor was it ever, a conspiracy theory. In the end, there's good news and bad news. I'll give you the bad news first. Their plan is nearing completion. It was all spelled out in Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. You will live in 15-minute cities. You will be tracked, you will be traced, you will be jabbed and monitored everywhere you go and in everything you do. Your eating habits will be monitored. Your money will be digitized, and you will need permission based on your social credit score, which, by the way, is in existence right now. They just haven't told you yet. You will need permission to be granted a privilege. In short, if they have their way, you will own nothing and you will be happy. And you will eat bugs. Those two statements were made by the head of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab. He said just that more than once. Tell me, does the idea of eating bugs and owning nothing make you happy? I didn't think so. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. Those individuals that John F. Kennedy mentioned in those secret societies are now starting to uncloak themselves. I'm going to give you just a partial list of the higher level directors in their depopulation one world government agenda, along with a few of the compromised or bribed participants in this plan. Number one, the guy I just mentioned, Klaus Schwab. He's the head of the World Economic Forum. His sidekick, Nova Yuval Harari, might come as a surprise to many of you people, but the head of the UN, Antonio Guterres. The head of the World Health Organization, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, who, by the way, if it goes into play, if it is not stopped now, by the end of 2024, they will have complete control of being able to deliver and to put in place a pandemic at their whim. And all of the nations of the planet will have to lockstep to Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus. And if you have any idea or don't have any idea who this man is, go look him up on a search engine. His record is just absolutely atrocious. Rochelle Walensky, the current head of the Center for Disease Control. And I know you've heard of this name, Anthony Fauci, the former head of the NIAC. Bill Gates, the CEO of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and of Gabby. Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, that pharmaceutical company that has been jabbing millions of Americans for about 2.5 to 3 years now. Melinda Gates, the ex-wife of Bill, I'm not even going to get into why she's the ex-wife. I have my suspicions, but I'm not going to go there. Melinda Gates is the co-chairman of the WHO subcommittee on implementation of CBDC, which is central bank digital currency, the social credit score, of which I had mentioned a few minutes ago, as well as vaccine passports to be able to travel anywhere. Her, along with Jack Ma, he's the co-chair of the same subcommittee as Melinda Gates. This is the man that invented the Chinese version of the current Chinese social credit score. Then, of course, we have Joe Biden, who is the dancing puppet, shouting the orders and pretending he's in charge of the mandates, the edicts, the proclamations, the school closing, the businesses and church closings, etc. But trust me, folks, he's not. Multiple puppets, compromised co-conspirators, too lengthy to name, but with a bit of research, they will be easy to find. Don't search with Google, however. They have teamed up with the UN to, quote, censor any search of anyone looking for any truth about all of this. My advice would be use DuckDuckGo or Yandex.com. Or you could go to Brighteon.com, BitChute.com, Band.video.com, Rumble.com, and others to find out the truth of what they plan on doing to you and your family. They are getting ready to roll out round two of COVID with more lockdowns, more business closures, mandatory masks, tracking and tracing, and quarantines. They are claiming a new COVID variant is on the rise, EG5, BA2.86, and ERIS. This is more bogus BS to scare the public into rolling up their sleeves and taking their newest booster, coincidentally rolling out just as the new variants supposedly spread. Numerous investigations by integral medical professionals, scientists, and many attorneys have now provided conclusive evidence that these vaccines were not developed to protect the public, but seemingly has been done for other nefarious motives. The very officials ordering the mask mandates, the lockdowns, the quarantines, or the mandatory jabs to maintain your employment have never even signed their oaths of office. Correct me. They have signed it, but it hasn't been officially notarized or witnessed, meaning that they are impersonating whatever legal official they are claiming to be. This is a premeditated safety valve for them in case they should ever be tried in court for either treason or sedition. Now, this conclusion has been confirmed, and this isn't just me talking, folks. This conclusion has been confirmed by investigator Lisa McGee and the attorney Todd Callender. On this second go-round with COVID, if anyone tries to force you to do any of what I just mentioned, demand to know where the order initiated and also to see the signed oath of office of the person or persons that initiated the order. To attempt an order such as that without a signed oath of office is a criminal felony. To force anyone to take a vaccine against their will violates both their First Amendment rights as well as the international Nuremberg laws. There has to be disclosure, okay? They have to give you the choice, tell you the good and the bad. That isn't what they did on the first go-around, folks. And meanwhile, our border remains wide open with better than, and this is a conservative figure, 10,000 illegals per day coming through. And this is not a crisis. It's an all-out invasion. More than 5 million since this new administration took office in January of 2021. Would it surprise you if I told you that your tax dollars are being used by both your government in conjunction with the United Nations to provide these migrant maps, rape kits, morning after pills, and instructions of what to say to Border Patrol when they reach our border? Would it surprise you to know that these migrants are being provided food, shelter, medical assistance, and transportation as they leave their induction centers, placed in several key locations across the southern U.S., by the way? Would it surprise you to know that each adult migrant that crosses our border is provided with $2,200 per month, paid for out of your tax dollars by your government? The average retired American on Social Security, the average draws about $1,400. That's the average across. I'm talking about people that worked all of their lives, people that paid into Social Security from the time they started working at 18 all the way up to age 65. They draw on a national average of $1,400 a month. The United States government is currently providing the illegals $2,200 a month. Is that not a slap in the face to all American workers who have paid into this system? Do you think American retirees shouldn't feel just a bit offended at that? Is it not a slap in your face as well if you are currently paying in to FICA, I believe it's FICA, okay, when they take taxes out of your paycheck? And no, by the way, folks, I'm not making this up. Whistleblowers have already testified before Congress regarding these issues, and nothing as yet has been done to stop this madness. Now, in conclusion to this, I want to make a short announcement. This message was deliberately delivered commercial free. So I want you to look for additional podcasts of the American Awakening, but be advised that they will in the future contain short commercial breaks as we are currently seeking future advertisers as well as sponsors. You may also tune into our weekly broadcast every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central Time at theamericanawakening.org. We survive on donor support as well. If you want to help your friends, your neighbors, and relatives wake up to this Orwellian reality, please assist us in spreading the word and go to theamericanawakening.org and donate using either PayPal or the Patreon donate button. And by the way, folks, Round two of the COVID is about to be unleashed. We've gotten word that September 15th has been, they're going to require the TSA, those people at the airport that check your bags, to, as well as the Border Patrol, to start wearing masks again because of these supposed variants coming out of Canada. I have a sponsor that lives in Canada. I did a radio show just this past Tuesday, and I specifically asked him if he was aware of this upcoming round two of COVID. And I mentioned to him that according to our reports out of this Mockingbird mainstream media, it was coming out of Canada. He laughed because he lives in Canada. And he said that's pretty funny because according to their mainstream media up there, they're claiming that it's coming out of Washington State. Isn't that funny? So we've got different stories from different countries coming out, but all with the same conclusion. New lockdowns, new masks, new jabs, conveniently the new booster that's just rolling out in time to prepare you and inoculate you from these new variants. Interesting. And by the way, thinking about a vacation in the near future, folks? Well, what has been neglected, the 800-pound elephant in the room, if you will, and I've been in, looked at the vaccine adverse events report. I have looked at many studies, interviewed scientists, doctors, and so forth from all over the globe. And they tell me the same thing. Okay? There's an 800-pound elephant in the room. The morbidity, the deaths in the insurance companies has increased 40%. Auto accidents have gone up. The 800-pound elephant in the room is that nobody seems to want to place the blame on the jab, on the vaccine, if you will. Although the evidence is overwhelming that that's what's causing it. Dr. Roger Hodgkinson just came out with a report last week that stipulates in the forensic data that they've done worldwide, there have been 20 million deaths in the global community. That's all countries of the world. 1.1 million here in the United States from the jab. There have been 2 billion worldwide that have suffered disabilities or adverse side effects from these jabs that are being put out. These companies, Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, they are making billions of new profits on this vaccine. There has been, I believe it's a little over 20 billionaires that have come into play since COVID took effect. This is a massive money grab for people. But on the other side of the coin, it contributes to population control. But if you're thinking about taking a vacation in the near future, there's a couple things I want to share with you before I end this podcast. One of them is an article that just came out of Frontline News on August 22nd, which is just 6 days ago. The headline, three pilots die suddenly in 1 week. And then the underscore was, he was very fit and his untimely demise has come as a big shock to everyone who knew him. Long story short, the Qatar Airlines pilot from flight 579 from Delhi to Doha died suddenly on board. He was 51 years old. He was very fit, and his untimely demise came as a big shock to everybody. But evidently, he felt queasy, uneasy. He got up out of his pilot seat, went to the bathroom, and he died in the restroom on the flight. That's one of three pilots that died just last week from this. In the reports that I've gotten on the deaths of pilots over the past 2.5 years since they rolled out the COVID vaccine has been over 100. And interestingly enough, folks, the FAA considers that the big elephant in the room. Even though there's multiple articles, and you can look this up, don't use Google, use Bing or Yandex.com or DuckDuckGo, you'll find that the FAA refuses to address this issue. So the question is, how safe do you feel getting on a jet with your family members to go from point A to point B when this is happening with regularity? the airline personnel, the baggage handlers, the receptionist behind the counter, the flight attendants, all of these people were subjected to and threatened, along with the hospital, the medical community across this United States, that they either took the jab or they didn't have a job. And if you recall, it was at the origin of this introduction of this vaccine. If you recall, they try to entice you with free hamburgers, free airline tickets, not airline tickets, but free baseball tickets, free drinks, free lottery tickets, a number of different issues. They exhausted that idea, and they only got up to a certain level. So then they started threatening people. They threatened with loss of jobs. Again, the airlines, the medical community, the federal government workers. What's interesting about that is that they didn't mandate the injections for any illegals. Now, why do you think that is? All of these millions of illegals crossing the border, they mandated these shots on us, but not them. I'll tell you why. Because under United States legislation, the vaccine and pharmaceutical companies, they have immunity from prosecution. This is an agreement that they made with the United States government. That agreement does not apply to other governments around the world, which is why they will not inject the immigrants. And there were certain other workers in this system, federal workers, that were immune or that had the choice of whether they wanted to get injected or not, one of which was our own congressmen and senators. They had the option, whereas other people didn't. Now, as George Carlin said, what they don't want is they don't want a population that has the ability to critically think. So I'm going to ask everyone that's listening to this broadcast, critically think about what I'm saying now. Why is it that these people, many of them, would be mandated to take the shot or lose their jobs? On the other side of the coin, some people would be exempt from it and not have to do so. It's because of the immunity clause. Now, again, when I close this, I want to mention to you folks, there's going to be a future podcast of the American Awakening, and the entire design for this broadcast, the entire design for the American Awakening, like the title says, is to awaken America, to allow you to realize, spread the word with your friends, neighbors, and relatives, to realize that what you're being told, what they are pushing you, the Kool-Aid that they're feeding you on the mainstream media is a lie. They are in collusion with the powers that be. They don't want you to know the truth, just as William Casey said, and he said that to Ronald Reagan at Ronald Reagan's inauguration in 1981. They're not going to be happy until everything that you think you know is a lie. And they're doing it for a reason. So if you would, as you listen to these broadcasts, there will be guests that are going to be coming on in the future, doctors, attorneys, and so forth, that I'm going to let it come from their lips, not mine. What I've told you now, I can document everything I've said. I've got the written documentation to prove it. I'm not making any of this up. But folks, if you want these broadcasts to continue, the government doesn't pay us. The government does not want you to hear what I am sharing with you today. So I would ask you once again to go into the AmericanAwakening.org. If you like what you're hearing, when you research this, when you do a search engine search on any of what I'm telling you, and you find out what I'm telling you is the truth, feel free to donate either through PayPal or through Patreon and allow us to keep these broadcasts going. Because we're rapidly approaching, folks, the cliff, if you will. The latest endeavor, other than the lockdowns, is central bank digital currency. That's right around the corner. To hear more about that, you want to tune in and listen to the American Awakening. We will be on from this point forward on the website on Tuesdays from 5 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Okay. I'm going to ask you to call your friends, neighbors, relatives, business colleagues, and so forth, and have them tune in. Because the information that we're going to be providing to you folks will all be documented. Remember that this administration, and this is coming from Todd Callender, 74 out of 75. do not have a notarized witness oath of office. Thank you for tuning in.